So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan bides his time and bides his time, he's waiting for the right moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he is thinking about. What he is thinking about, how can I destroy Ayyub alayhi salam? That is his entire plan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a certain day informs him in the heavens and tells him, Ya shaitan la'in, O shaitan, O accursed one. That Ayyub that you are after, that Ayyub is a pious and a thankful slave of mine. Your enticements and your temptations directed towards Ayyub will have no effect on him at all whatsoever. Shaitan began his artful. Now shaitan has got the opportunity. He's waiting for this moment. When will the door open for addressing myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When he hears this, now he starts. And this is how I've written this. Shaitan began his artful posturing and his deceitful imploring as follows. He said, addressing himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, you have bestowed so much wealth and so much fortune upon Ayyub, and you have blessed him with such a large and such a happy family. Why will he not be but thankful to you for these fortunes, for this wealth, O Allah? These favors and blessings are the coolness of his eyes and the contentment of his heart. If these were taken away from him, then he would not bother to make even one sijda, one prostration to you, O Allah. And he would find no solace in meditation and prayer, and no peace in thanking you and in worshipping you, O Allah. Look at how deceitful shaitan is, but at the same time, how tricky and how shrewd shaitan is. Shaitan says, I'm putting it now in simple terms, this is what shaitan says, that, O Allah, you have given Ayyub so many things, so much wealth, so much fortune, so many animals, so much land you have given him, so beautiful children you have given him, such a large and vast, why will he not be happy? Ayyub is satisfied, Ayyub is happy, he's got no complaint, he's got nothing but to thank you for. Ayyub is thankful to you, O Allah. Ayyub shows you pure gratitude, O Allah, because you have blessed him with so many favors. Take away some of these blessings. O Allah, take it away. And then see if he will make even one sijda of you. O Allah, he will not even make one sijda of you. Take away all these fortunes from Ayyub, and he will not want to even know you. And also, O Allah, he will not thank you. And also, O Allah, he will cut down on meditation, he will cut down on prayer, and he will not be peaceful towards you, O Allah. He will not make shukr of you, O Allah. The divine sound announced, I use the word divine command or divine sound, the divine command or the divine sounds, meaning I cannot say the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in every likelihood you may misunderstand me and say Allah ta'ala has a voice. Allah's sound, Allah's ni'mah. We can use the word in the, normally they say Allah's voice, but I prefer to use the word the divine sound so that we do not confuse it with our voices. The divine sound announced, O Iblis, your opinion about my faithful slave is contrary to the fact. O Shaitan, what you are saying is contrary to fact. So Shaitan says, because the door is now open to converse, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the moment he was waiting for. Shaitan said, O Allah, if you grant me power and sway over the wealth and the fortunes and the children of Ayyub, then only can one judge how devout, how pious, and how thankful is Ayyub. Look at the way and the cleverness, the shrewdness with which Shaitan implores Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, O Allah, if you give me power over the wealth and the fortune, over the lands and the children of Ayyub, then you can judge, O Allah, whether he is truly thankful to you and truly devoted to you or not. I mean, without that, how can we know? He's got everything going for him. He's got everything going for him. Why will he not be thankful to you, O Allah? But take it away from him and then let us see. So, O Allah, what I am asking, O Allah, give me qabza. This is the Arabic word that is used. Give me qabza. Give me control. Give me power over the fortunes and the children of Ayyub, over his herds and his flocks, over his lands and over his children. Give me, grant me power, O Allah, and then we test Ayyub. I will test Ayyub, and then you can see, O Allah, how faithful and how devoted is Ayyub to you, O Allah. This is my request to you, O Allah. The divine sound then pronounced, you are hereby granted domination over the wealth and the fortune and the children of Ayyub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants Shaitan his request to have power over and control over the wealth, the fortune, meaning the lands, and the children of Ayyub alayhi salam. Let's proceed now with the story. Shaitan never learns. No, Shaitan never learns. He's so obstinate. So stubborn is Shaitan. He has been learning the story of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat from ages, brothers. But he continues with rebellion. Shaitan never learns. He had disobeyed a command of Allah Ta'ala to prostrate to Nabi Adam alayhi salam, as a result of which he became the accursed devil. In this case, he is informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam will not be tempted or seduced by Shaitan. That Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam is not devout and pious to show off or to pretend. That Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam will go on being patient and thankful under all circumstances. But Shaitan refuses to accept the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes on to plead for the right of control and power over the wealth, the property, and the children of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. You remember the first announcement that was made by the divine sound in heaven, that my Ayyub, he will be ever thankful to me all the time. He is not going to disobey me. He has already been informed, and yet Shaitan is making such a request of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he is not obedient. Again, you learn that Shaitan is not obedient to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he makes this plan and this ploy towards Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's proceed now. Such is his ongoing rebellion and enmity towards man. Shaitan will not leave man in peace until he has seduced and sabotaged man or failed in doing so. Only those guided and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are saved from Shaitan. The way was now open for Shaitan's vendetta against Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. What follows now is adequately recorded by all the major mufassireen, rahmahumullah ta'ala alayhim ajmain, in their tafsir kitabs. But I have largely extracted the information which now follows from Tafsir Ibn Kasir. This is such a fascinating tale that I fear that it may be described by many people as a fable or a folklore or a myth. But brothers, there are stranger stories than this recounted in the Quran Majid and in the Ahadith. So I give you my source and you use this if you are ever told that Maulana is telling stories and tales. Tafsir Ibn Kasir is my authority, one, and then all the major tafsirs, you can pick up any one of them. 17 in all that I generally refer to. All of them have got the story in some way. Some highlight a certain part of the story, some highlight another part of the story, and so on. Tafsir Ibn Kasir has done the best job of it, and I have taken from him. He is my source. It is not Maulana Ibrahim Adam that is telling the story. I have extracted it from Tafsir Ibn Kasir, and all the other major tafsirs that I have referred to. The story comes from there. I accept it as such. I believe it is true. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I believe there are many lessons that we can learn from the story. Shaitan is a reality, brothers. It is not an immaterial, non-existent force. No. Shaitan is a real, he is a figure, he is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got a form, he's got a shape, and he can adopt any human shape that he desires, except the form of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can come in many guises. Let's proceed now. Thus is our iman. Shaitan, now we start with the real story after giving you the background. Shaitan got all his forces together. He has received permission, right? The point we have reached here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now given shaitan power over the fortunes, the wealth, the property, and the children of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. What he wanted, he has now got. But also do bear in mind, he has already been pre-informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that shaitan, you can, oh cursed one, you can try what you want to, but my Ayyub will continue to remain constant and faithful unto me. He knows this. But you know what shaitan is, he will still continue to try his luck. Shaitan now gets together all his forces. Brothers, this is true. In many hadith, it is related how shaitan goes to work, how he plans and how he plots and how he schemes in order to destroy particularly the Muslimin. This is how he works. And in the story of Nabi Ayyub and Rahma alayhi wasalam, we learn the systematic way and the orderly way in which shaitan goes about deciding how he must destroy and destruct the iman of a Muslim, the faith of a Muslim. Here it is. Shaitan now assembles, he gets together his forces. If there is a Muslim home, an individual or a family, in a locality where shaitan can't get in, a fortress of iman, or a house protected by the fortress of a powerful iman, then this is how shaitan is going to operate. Exactly as I'm going to give you now. Shaitan will get his forces together. They're going to congregate at a certain place, an evil place in that locality where they can meet. They will assemble and they will conduct a meeting there. A mashura they're going to conduct there. And in their decisions will be taken, what must we do? Shaitan will ask and address him. He say, my forces, my children, tell me, who of you knows any weakness of that Buddha so-and-so that lives there, of that brother or that sister that lives there? Who of you knows what weaknesses he has got? Where does he work? Where does he come from? Who is he? What does he love? What does he hate? How can we trap him? How can we lure him? How can we mislead him? How can we deceive him? They will take hours and days and weeks and months and even years to eventually break that family down. And brothers, wallah, I tell you, a little bit of effort on your part and he will be able to do you nothing at all. But we've got to know how. So shaitan now, to attack Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, shaitan assembles his forces, all his children. You know what his forces consist of? All his children. All his generals. All his commanders. All his majors. All his captains. All his lieutenants, all his sergeants, and all his officers come together, as well as his retainers, his attendants, and his servants. All of them gather for an all-important meeting to decide on a plan of action against Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. After lengthy and long-ranging deliberations and discussions, a strategy for the fall and defeat of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam was chalked out by the evil schemers and planners of shaitan. Forces were delegated thereafter. Once the plan is laid, they discuss, what shall we do? Once, after hours and hours of deliberation, look, we are al-insan, they are al-jinn. They are also creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is binding upon us is binding upon them. So we are the same, basically, in creation. They are made of fire, we are made of earth. We are made of earth and clay, they are made of fire and smoke. That is the only difference between us. But they also have to accept Tawheed, we also have to accept Tawheed. They also have to accept Risalat, we also have to accept Risalat. They also have to accept Akhirah, there is going to be judgment for them as well. For us there is Akhirah, there is judgment as well. No other difference. Both of us are the slaves and both of us are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we conduct our affairs and our meetings, they also conduct in the same way. Brothers, there is no difference. The only difference is they see us, we do not see them. Second difference is they are very, very powerful, very, very strong. They can travel long distances. They can carry heavy objects. They have access to vast stores of knowledge. Alright? And we, of course, our we have our limitations, human limitations set upon us. But yet, in spite of them, who is the afdalul makhluk? We, al-insan, the greatest, mightiest, most honorable and noble creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-insan, not jinn, it is al-insan. So we have many things going for us. I therefore say, we have to make that little bit of sacrifice, and we will win. So, a plan is laid, and on the drawing board, a decision is given by the Amir of the Shayateen, the chief of the Shaitan gives a decision, and he says, brothers, this is our plan of action. This is how we will destroy Ayyub. And then the delegations and the appointments are made. Forces were delegated with tasks, and commissions were sent out on various missions of evil and devilry. Shaitan plots and schemes with great care and with great cunning. Defeat does not even enter his mind. He is fully aware of the weaknesses of man, and he works on them to stay ahead of man. The evil forces of Shaitan first struck the vast herds and flocks of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, subhanallah. So the plan was, Allah Ta'ala has given me power and control over what? Over the wealth of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. What is the main wealth? In the Mashura, this is what was discussed in their meeting. What is the greatest wealth of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam? Farming. In farming, what is his greater wealth? His massive, his huge herds of animals that he has. These thousands and thousands of animals of his that graze, that is his greatest possession. In the Mashura, they decided in their meeting that if we destroy all those animals, then a great wealth of Ayyub will be lost. Let us divide it up. We will say one third of his wealth consisted of his flocks, one third of his wealth consisted of his land, and one third of his wealth consisted of in his family, his children. Let's divide for the sake of clarity, for the sake of understanding, let us say. So Shaitan decides, if we are going to destroy all the animals, the herds and the flocks of Ayyub, then it will affect him so badly, he will not be able to tolerate it, he will become impatient, and he will use words and utter words of ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we've got him. The moment he utters words of ungraciousness and ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a prophet, it is a major sin. We will thereby have caused Ayyub alayhi salam to have committed a major sin. And of course from there onwards, then it will be easy for us to penetrate and to destroy Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So what Shaitan does, now when I say he designated his forces, his commanders, his majors, his officers and so on. Now what happened is each one now gets his group. So many different generals and commanders and chiefs and captains are appointed, and each one is given a force, and all of them are sent out into the fields of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, and each one of them is directed to take those flocks and push them, encourage them and lead them towards water, towards the rivers that abound on his land, in which all those animals will be drowned. So the forces, the thousands and thousands of the forces of Shaitan go now into action. And all of them lead these herds through the power which is at their disposal. They lead these herds on towards the rivers that flow in the lands of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The result is all the animals, each and every one of the thousands of animals of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam are drowned by Shaitan. All of them. So that none were left. This was a severe blow and a major loss for many hundreds of employees who tended to these animals would be out of work, and the thousands of animals were a major asset and a major source of income of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. This loss, the destruction of the herds and the flocks of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, would also lead to poverty and hunger, because many, many people lived off them. Such a loss could turn anyone's mind and anyone's heart. Such was the hope and the perception of Shaitan as he approached Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam in disguise as a herdsman. Now comes Shaitan, the chief now. The moment of glory for Shaitan. He now dresses himself in disguise as a herdsman, a person who looks after the flocks one of the employees, pretending to be one of the employees of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and he takes his stick and he takes the particular clothes that they have on, and he marches himself and he comes in the presence of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and he speaks thus. He says, "Sir, all your animals have been drowned, so that not a single animal is left to plow the fields, to draw water, to provide food, or to crop the harvest. Alas, sir, what shall we do? What will become of us?" Let me say that again. I've translated it as best as I could, keeping, of course, to the modern idiom. "Sir, all your animals have been drowned," or "Honorable sir, all your animals have been drowned, so that not a single one is left to plow the fields, to draw water, to provide food, or to crop the harvest. Alas, sir, what shall we do? What will become of us?" Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam heard him out without a single sad reflection at his enormous loss, and replied with great patience, peace, and endurance as follows. It is stated in these tafsirs that not one mark, not one frown of any kind of anger or frustration or pity of any kind of sorrow passed across the face of Nabi. One is to say, "What is this? What struck me? What happened? Why me?" One is, before knowing of his misfortune and after learning of it, nothing passed him. He was absolutely, completely the same Ayyub as he was before hearing of this disaster. Not even a reflection of any kind passed across his features. And this is what he replies to Shaitan. He says, of course, he doesn't know that that is Shaitan. He takes him to be one of his herd boys. He says, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam heard him out without a single sad reflection at his enormous loss, and replied with great patience, endurance, and peace. He said, "All thanks and all praises are due to the mighty creator, sustainer, and master of the universe, who bestowed these many animals to me out of his immense grace and bounty, out of his immense mercy, and took them back out of his absolute justice and his absolute equity." SubhanAllah. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, calm and cool as a cucumber. No frustration, no rage, no anger at his particular loss. He says, "Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah. All thanks and praises are due to Allah, the Mighty One, the Mighty Creator, Sustainer, and Master of the Universe, who bestowed these many animals, who blessed these animals, who favored me with these many animals out of his immense grace and bounty and mercy, and took them back out of his absolute justice and equity." In other words, Allah is absolutely just, and whatever Allah has done is absolutely just and equitable. I have absolutely no complaint. I've got nothing to say about the matter. This came from him and he took it back. Alhamdulillah. All praises are due to Allah. This profound reply of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam stunned Shaitan and left him speechless. You know, very seldom can you hit Shaitan speechless. This is one of those occasions in history when Shaitan was absolutely dumbstruck. He had nothing to say. He was absolutely lost. In abject shame at the remarkable patience and tolerance of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, Shaitan departed with his head hanging low. But as I said, he's a shameless fellow. He's got no shame. Even this did nothing to him. Shaitan went back to the drawing board to scheme and plot again. A very important meeting of his officials was called up again. His carefully laid first plan had failed miserably. He would not allow himself to be defeated again. Suggestions and observations were invited from the assembled devils, from their chief planner, their chief architect, and plans were laid again to turn the heart of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam against his maker and creator Allah, and delegations were sent off to carry out their tasks of evil. all the huge vast fields, all the huge and vast fields of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam were set alight and burnt to the ground. This was the second mashura decision of the shayateen. They said, look, one is we have taken away all his herds and his flock, we've destroyed all his animals. The second third of the wealth and fortune of Ayyub alayhi salam is his fields. If we destroy these fields, then two thirds of the wealth of Ayyub alayhi salam will be gone. That will hit him bad. Now, after that loss, he must complain. He will definitely show some degree of ingratitude or expression of ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he was saying. One word of complaint from Ayyub alayhi salam was sufficient for shaitan. All he needed was one word only of complaint against Allah about his misfortune, and shaitan would have danced with joy. So, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam's fields were set alight and burnt to the ground. Crops and harvests were utterly destroyed by shaitan, so that nothing of food crops and cereals remained. All his huge corn fields and wheat fields, vast acres of them, extensive lands that stood, and some of them were almost ready for harvesting, all of them were burnt to the ground by shaitan. The damage in this instance was very enormous indeed. Shaitan, disguised as a worker on the fields, approached Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam with great sadness and grief reflected in his stature, in his stance, and in his face, to say, respected sir, honorable sir, I have come to report with great sadness and grief that all your orchards and fields have been hit by fire and burnt to the ground, and there remains nothing behind, not even enough for a single meal. What shall we do? How are we going to survive? Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam gave him exactly the same reply as he had given previously, when the first test by shaitan was passed on him, saying quietly, solemnly, and appreciatively, Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praises are due to Allah, the mighty creator, sustainer, and master of the universe, who bestowed these numerous fields to me out of his immense grace, bounty, and mercy, and took them all back out of his absolute justice and equity. Saying this, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam once again engaged himself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking, praising, and forever glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan was stunned. He had not expected such an amazing response from Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Shaitan had seldom dealt with such an immensely forbearing and patient man. His second major scheme had failed miserably. He returned to his scheming and plotting again. He was inflamed with jealousy and passion, and shaitan was torn apart with hatred for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. He had to defeat Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam at all costs, in whatever way. His scheme this time was to hurt Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam personally, where it hurt most. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was very fond of his children. He loved them very dearly. Shaitan planned to destroy them, all the children of Nabi Ayyub. And so, on a certain day, when they were all at home, shaitan caused the roof of their house to come crashing down on them, crushing and killing all the children of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Shaitan assumed that he had struck his most terrible blow against Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Which father could remain unmoved by such a tragedy? Thought shaitan. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam had just been struck by two crushing blows. He had just lost all his animals, and he had just lost all his fields. He had remained unmoved and unconcerted by these two tragedies. Shaitan rightfully assumed that these losses, and particularly this last one, would surely break the nerve of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. So shaitan, disguised once again as a simple, humble man, went and informed Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam about this tragic loss of his children. The incredible steadfastness, the unbelievable fortitude, the smooth resolution and firmness of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam came to the fore once again. the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, this Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, remained completely unperturbed and undisturbed as he said, Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praises are due to Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Master of the Universe. All things come from Allah Ta'ala, and all things are bound to return to Allah Ta'ala. It is Allah that bestowed upon me my beautiful and lovely children, and it is His right to take them away from me. I thank Allah Ta'ala for taking back what He entrusted me with. It was His property and it rightfully belonged to Allah Ta'ala, who only took what was His to take. Surely all things belong to Allah Ta'ala, whose every decree is based on absolute justice and complete equity. And I abide by every decree and every decision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Shaitan was stupefied into silence. Shaitan was shocked into paralysis. Shaitan recovered and then went to his den to deliberate his misfortune and to look for other avenues and ways to commandeer and to deceive Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. For Shaitan never lets his human enemies free. Once he has targeted the person, he will not leave him alone. The extent to which Shaitan goes is mind-boggling. The story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam gives us some idea of the extent of his attentions and machinations. In grief, in misery and failure, Shaitan always turns to plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and mercy. Subhanallah, brothers, even Shaitan at least knows this much, that when he is defeated all over, the only one that he can turn to for help, for mercy, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam, he took away everything from Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. All his wealth, all his lands, all his children he destroyed. And not one word of complaint, not one word of anger from Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam continues to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he continues to make sabr. Shaitan, having failed miserably, turns to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is the hypocrisy, the vileness and the baseness of Shaitan. His schemes are marked with villainy and with sedition. He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he beseeches thus. He says, O Allah, the peace and the perseverance, the patience and the constancy of Ayyub is due to his knowledge, to Ayyub's knowledge, that these virtues will bring him greater reward and greater blessings from you, O Allah. Subhanallah. In other words, like we say, the more patient you are, the more reward you will receive from Allah. Patience will be rewarded. You and I know, we always say this also. Similarly, Shaitan says, O Allah, you know, Ayyub knows this also. Ayyub has the knowledge, he is your prophet after all. He knows that the more sabr he makes, the more reward he is going to get from you. In other words, he is patiently holding on, knowing that you will give him more blessings and more rewards. Look at the shrewdness of Shaitan. O Allah, the peace and the perseverance, the patience and the constancy of Ayyub is due to Ayyub's knowledge that these virtues of patience and tolerance and perseverance will bring him greater rewards and blessings from you, O Allah. Therefore, Ayyub remains unaffected by them. Whatever losses come along, Ayyub remains unaffected by them, O Allah, because in his knowledge he knows you're going to give him greater blessings and greater rewards. But, says Shaitan, let some physical harm, let some physical grief, or let some sickness or injury befall Ayyub, and then see if he remains patient and steadfast towards you, O Allah. If illness were to take him, how? If illness were to take him, then he will surely fail the test, and he will turn against you with ingratitude, O Allah. O Allah, if you grant me power over the body of Ayyub, then I will prove how disloyal he can be to you, O Allah. This is the speech of Shaitan. And after failure, addressing himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, now what else can I do? Now I must use this one avenue that is open to me to seek from Allah's help and guidance. the divine ordainment was granted to Shaitan. Subhanallah. Allah in His hikmah to teach you and me, to teach mankind great lessons of wisdom, of patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and recounted all these stories so that you and I can learn from them many, many valuable lessons. The divine ordainment, in other words, divine permission was granted to Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you may have control over the body of Ayyub, O Iblis, except for Ayyub's tongue, his ears, and his heart. I inform you, however, that Ayyub will remain steadfast and patient, enduring your test. And his heart. I inform you, however, that Ayyub will remain steadfast and patient, enduring your tests without fail. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Iblis, Shaitan, that Ayyub is not going to fail. And these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uttered and spoken to Shaitan. Yet look the reaction of Shaitan and the response of Shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh Shaitan, oh Iblis, you can have control, you can gain control. I am granting you control over the body of Ayyub. But three parts, three limbs, you're not going to gain control of: his tongue, his ears, and his heart. That will remain in the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Shaitan that Ayyub will remain steadfast and patient in spite of all the tests that Shaitan passes his way. Shaitan, brothers, is very hasty. We have a few minutes more, I'll be ending off now. Shaitan is very, very hasty and impatient. He does not pause, Shaitan does not pause to consider or reflect on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein he is informed in clear terms by the Supreme and Almighty Allah that he will not succeed against Ayyub. Even the advice of the all-knowing Allah has no impact on the devil. Truth does not sink into his ears. He creates similar haste, impatience, and insubordination in the hearts of his followers. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, at this juncture, we will call it quits. I will end off here. Inshallah, next week I will resume the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, conclude it, and then we will start with a few short stories, that of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, that of Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, and that of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, which are all fairly short, and then a few from Shaitan's tests on Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from thence we will go on to the conversation that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had with Shaitan. Either that I will proceed with next week, but surely the week after that. Jazakallah, brothers. أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our sustainer. And we also send, as we commence in this holy month of Ramadanul Mubarak, we are more than halfway through, we send salutations, darood and salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family. And we also send the choicest blessings and rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the companions of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. We also send the blessings and the bounties of Allah subhanahu ta'ala upon all the major anbiyas, all the awliyas, all the ulamas, all the mufassirin, all the muhaddiseen, all the muarrikhin, all the great fuqaha of Islam, and particularly our four great anbiyas, our four great imams, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhim ajma'in. All of these great four imams that teach us the way, that have codified the laws of Islam, called it Sharia, and in their various mazhabs compiled it, helped us along the path of Sirat-e Mustaqim. Upon all of them we send the rich blessings and the rich bounties of Allah and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also we think in this holy month of Ramadan of all those that have preceded us in the way of our great-grandfathers and our grandfathers and our fathers and our parents, our mothers and our fathers, maternal line, the paternal line, and all those that we love very dearly, all those who have passed away. We are their product. To all of them we wish and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must fill their qabr with nur, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give them full maghfirah. Allah must forgive them. It is in Ramadan, we are all fasting, we are seeking for all our beloved near and dear people forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we ask you, O Allah, that you give them full success in the hereafter, inshallah, and bequeath to them, O Allah, Jannah, inshallah. Ameen. With this introduction, we commence now with the remarkable and profound, interesting story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam and his pious and obedient wife Rahma alayhi salam. I ended the story last week by telling you how Shaitan managed to scheme and obtain the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the body of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, after having taken away from him all his wealth and all his possessions and all his children. The loss of all his animals, his huge herds and flocks, the loss of all his land through burning, all his harvests through burning, all his crops through burning, huge wheat fields and grain fields and corn fields that Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with, all of them were raised and burnt to the ground by Shaitan's instigation. Alright, all his herds and flocks were drowned, not a single animal was left, there was no food to eat, everything had been burnt up, and all his children were shattered and killed when the roof of their home fell and crushed them all. All this are the machinations of Shaitan. Beautifully planned, wonderfully worked, schemed, plotted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him permission. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom wished to show was the defeat of Shaitan by the pious, Allah fearing, muttaqi, salih Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. What sabr can achieve in this world? And Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam showed the kind of sabr that brought upon him rich rewards. That is the sabr that Quran wishes to teach us, in order to teach us the benefits and the advantages of sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recounted for us in the Quran Majid, amongst other stories of prophets, the story of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam and Rahma alayhi salam. With divine permission to hurt and harm the body of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, Shaitan pursued his plan against this prophet, this noble prophet, this honorable prophet of Allah Ta'ala with relentlessness. Shaitan does not give up. He pursues his victim with complete, to its complete end, with complete purpose. The sparks of hatred had turned into burning passions of flame within Shaitan. Shaitan is made of fire, and you can imagine the enormity of his jealousy and his burning rage and hatred for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam and at his failure. He desired to consume the body of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam and to destroy it in the worst possible way, by the worst possible plan and design. Disguised once again as a well-wisher, and a good friend, he approached Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, and he blew hot, diseased and foul wind through the nostrils of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, which through his sorcery, through the witchcraft of Shaitan, soon erupted into rashes and boils and blisters throughout the body of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, with a high rate of itchiness and a consuming fever. Brothers, understand, Shaitan is a master at magic and sorcery and witchcraft. He is a master of these black arts of witchcraft. And he went as a good friend and he blew a hot, diseased, sickness-causing wind into the nostrils of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. The result of this hot, foul wind which he pushed through or blew through the nostrils of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam resulted after a few hours in his entire skin, the whole body from top to toe breaking out in what I have called rashes and blisters and boils. And with great itchiness, they all started to itch, and he also had a very high fever. His whole body was affected by this disease and by the unbearable itchiness and pain caused by the boils and blisters bursting out all over his body. If you have had one single boil in any part of your body, brother, you know how painful a boil is. Some people have to undergo operations in order to have such a boil removed. Now the whole body of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was filled with boils, and together with boils there were blisters breaking out all over his body and also rashes, and these were causing, it's like the manginess that dogs generally get, and the diseases over their skin. Now the whole skin of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was covered with the scabies like rashes. The fever was burning his body. Skin turned red, then deep blue. Now you can imagine boil does that. Boil, when it is still young, it is a sort of reddish. Alright? And as the boil grows harder and harder, and as it collects more and more pus, as it goes and penetrates deeper into the body, it turns a deep dark blue. Now, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's skin all over his body was at first red while it was raw. And as the days went by and the weeks went by, the body turned into a deep bluish color. And his skin started cracking up and breaking up as it swelled with pus and inflammation. There arose a terrible smell from his body, as blood and pus and sores gathered all over and broke out all over his body, as sores and germs covered his entire skin. People took offense at the state of his body and the smell coming from his body, for Shaitan used to spread the smell across to them. People lived in a clustered community in those days. They lived close by. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's hut stood in the midst of many hundreds of huts. And the smell coming out from his hut as a result of this body of his, we can say in a sense that the body was turning rotten. And this rotten flesh of his skin and body was giving off a bad smell. And the odor that was coming up was horrible. Alright? So Shaitan used to take the wind and used to sort of blow it as a draft across, and people used to get the smell, and then of course they used to hate the smell, and the hatred turned towards Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. People took offense at the state of his body and the smell coming from it, for Shaitan would spread it, the smell, across to them. People then demanded that Nabi Ayyub be removed from their vicinity. So he was taken and placed in a hut a distance away from this residential area. People stopped going that way through the evil suggestions of Shaitan. So they threw him on a little hill, a little hillock. They built a little place there, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam for him, and he was taken there and he was thrown there and left in the hut too. Well, the idea of the people was he would die there because nobody expected him to survive the severity of the illness which he was undergoing. So he stayed there in that hut. Shaitan, of course, coaxed the people and kept suggesting evil whisperings to the people towards hatred for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Throughout this period of severe illness and grief, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam remained in the remembrance, in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Through the pain, through the torment, through the torture, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam never ever stopped thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His worship and devotion increased as the days and the weeks and then the months and then the years passed. Subhanallah. The state of illness. Brothers, you must have heard of people being in coma for years. People being in coma for days and weeks and months and even years. So it's not something which is impossible. You must have heard, and you may even know people who are terminally ill. In other words, they have a disease which will definitely lead to their death. And yet they live for many, many years in their sickened and ill state. They live for a long time. Now Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam lived with this kind of body of his, this diseased and pain-racked body of his for a long time. In the hadith and in the tafsirs that I've checked up, various years have been mentioned. I have not written them down for you, but the period that seems to be the strongest is a period of 18 years. Most of the mufassireen, the major tafsirs, agree, such as Tafsir ibn Kasir also agree, that the period of the illness of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam lasted for 18 years. Alright, some have stated 10, some 12, and so on. But 18 is the time that is acceptable to myself. Alright. His worship and his devotion increased. His patience and his tolerance increased also dramatically. Shaitan could not believe what was happening. Here Shaitan stands, and every day, every morning, every evening, every hour, he comes to visit Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam to pick up one single utterance of complaint, of impatience, of haste, something that he would say regarding the pain and the disease. One word is all Shaitan is looking for to destroy this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. All the time he finds Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam thanking Allah, praising Allah, glorifying Allah, all the time, continuously, and being patient at his illness. Shaitan could not believe this. Shaitan thought that with time, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam would falter, would eventually crack up and break up. Shaitan thought to himself, which human being could endure such pain, such grief, such a pain-racked body, such terrible blisters and boils? All humans, Shaitan concluded, have their limitations. Shaitan envisaged that Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam would reach his peak soon, and then he would crack up. He therefore danced and sung and celebrated with joy, waiting for the moment of downfall of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam held on patiently, engaging himself all the while in zikrullah and placing his faith and his condition in the power, in the qudra, and in the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single word, leave alone a word, not even a single thought of complaint crossed the mouth or the mind of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. That is tough, brothers. That not even a thought must cross your mind, leave alone an utterance. That is really tough. Many times we think of a lot of wrong things. We think of sin. We think of wrong. We think of harming others. We think of doing haram things. But we never do it out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, the thought of ingratitude, of impatience, never even crossed his mind. So where will it still come onto his tongue? It is in this period of serious and severe illness of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam that his spouse, meaning his wife, meaning Rahma alayhi salam, showed her true mettle and the true grit of her womanhood and of her origin. From a family of prophets, she was not lacking in determination or devotion. She was by his side, tending and nursing him as best as she could, morning and evening. Now that they had lost everything, she was forced to work to keep the fires going. In other words, to keep a pot on the table, to keep a pot on the stove, to have food and fruit for Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, her husband. She was compelled to go out and do some kind of work and earn a living. Gone were the friends and the associates of the past. How natural this is for human beings, that while the going is good and there's a lot of money and there's a lot of food and there's a lot of fruit, and while good health is there, everybody knows you and everybody wants to know you. But the moment tough times come along, everybody leaves you alone. This is exactly what happened, and nobody used to visit them. It was only two people looking after and caring and worrying about one another, and that was Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam and his wife Rahma alayhi salam. They had lost everything, every child, every son, every daughter, all the houses they had, all the animals and all the land that they had, all the money was gone. These were lonely and troubled times for this prophetic family. She divided her meager income three ways. The little income that she earned from her work, she divided every day when she brought home the money. She divided it into three ways. Some she used, or one third she used to buy food. One third she used to obtain medication, to obtain medicine for her husband. And some was given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sadaqah. Three ways she divided her pittance. Husband and wife were devoted to one another, and both bore the present circumstance with extreme patience and forbearance, never complaining, not even once. Shaitan could barely believe the scene. He could not believe it. He is looking, when is the limit going to be reached of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam? When is he going to cry out? When is he going to plead? When is he going to complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his maker and creator, for the pain and for the torment, the torture that he was undergoing? Both increased their ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan looks at them, and every visit he finds them engaged in the worship, increasingly, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their patience also increased as time went on. Shaitan was dumbstruck. Nabi Ayyub and Rahma alayhum as-salam appeared to be content with the state of affairs, and this was not doing the cause of Shaitan any good. This is not what Shaitan wanted. He did not want them to reach a state of peace and calm and contentment. But this is exactly what was happening. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, in his sickness, was becoming contented. In other words, he was satisfied. In other words, he accepted his illness. And once a person has accepted it, Bifadlillah, O Allah, this is from you, I accept it as such, I have nothing to complain about. You gave it to me, you took it back from me. I'm satisfied. This is how he found the condition increasingly of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Rahma alayha salam, the same point she was reaching. She was becoming more and more, as time passed, contented and reaching a point of peace with herself. Yes, as a wife, it did worry her. It pained her to see her husband in this condition. But his sabr and his endurance also made her very calm and very peaceful from within. So Shaitan embarked on another treacherous scheme. Here is Shaitan again. He never lets up. He never lets up. And I'm telling you the story for that one reason. Do not think for a moment that Shaitan will leave us alone. The way he goes on with the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he leaves nobody alone. He is the enemy of each and every one of us. We Muslims, as Muslims, we sometimes tend to think Shaitan is meant for all the kuffar, all the mushrikeen, all the munafiqeen, but not for us. For we are reciters of kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, because we recite, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, every day. So we are protected. Because we recite ayatul kurs, ayatul Ayatul Kursi every day, we are protected. Yes, you are protected, but shaitan doesn't leave you alone. Remember, we are told in salah, he even comes to waswas us in salah. Now every time we make salah, we are engaged in kalam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that powerful spiritual state in which we are, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making Allah's ibadah, thinking of nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan has not left us alone. He is right there putting thoughts, ideas, enticements, temptations into the mind of man. Shaitan is right there in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never ever leaving man alone. So brothers, beware of shaitan. This is what I am saying here basically. Now shaitan goes on to another scheme. How many schemes? This is the sixth scheme that shaitan is now working on against Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam and his household, to destroy them. To prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does shaitan want to prove? That he can make Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam utter one word of ingratitude. Subhanallah. One word to show that Ayyub, Allah's beloved prophet and messenger alayhi salam, is thankless, is impatient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already informed shaitan, my Ayyub, my slave, he is most patient and will continue to be patient no matter what you do, no matter what you try. And this is how this whole story started. On that shaitan told, oh Allah, he is satisfied, he is patient because of all the ni'mah, all the favors and blessings he has received from you. But I can prove to you, oh Allah, that if all those favors and blessings are removed, he will fall, he will falter, he will become impatient, he will complain. And this is where the story started off from. Now he goes on his sixth scheme. Look what he's going to try now. Appearing disguised, shaitan. Appearing disguised. And yes, brothers, shaitan appears in disguises even up till today. He appears in us, in our meetings, in our homes, in our streets, in our parks, in our avenues, all in our marketplaces, in our shops. Everywhere shaitan comes whenever he wants to break us and destroy us, when he's got a scheme and a plot against us. Then shaitan appears, not always, sometime through, if he can achieve his aim by seducing the mind through temptation, then shaitan doesn't appear in a human disguise. But when he fails to seduce and to tempt and to entice people through suggestion, that is what we call waswas, then shaitan takes on the appearance of a very wise, of a very good, of a very, very wonderful person. And he comes clothed and disguised as such, and he comes with gentle speech and kindly ways and manners and customs, and he comes and he says, brother, and then he proceeds to tell his story, which is all based on lies, complete falsehood, to mislead you, to deceive you. He comes now, appearing disguised as a pious advisor. He stood in the way as Rahma alayhi salam went about her work, and this is what he tells her. He tells her as follows. He says, oh beautiful one, oh wonderful one, how beauteous and how lovely you are. Remember, I have already told you that Rahma was a descendant of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a very handsome man. You know, he was so handsome that when all the women folk that were in the Pharaoh's court in the palace, they cut their fingers with the knife at the beauty and the grace of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, when the women folk of Egypt, of Masr, were saying that the wife of the Pharaoh has fallen in love with a young man, what kind of woman is she? She's stupid, she's foolish to fall for a servant. For that time, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was a servant in the household of the Pharaoh. Alright? So, she, the Pharaoh's wife, invited all hundreds. She laid the table with a feast. Beautiful food, wonderful food, fruit and everything she laid, and then she invited several hundred of the leading women folk of Egypt to come and partake of this meal. And the idea was, while they are sitting on the table and feasting, she would call Yusuf alayhi salam to appear on the balcony, and then all the women folk would look up and see the beauty and grace of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and then the women folk would realize why she had fallen in love with Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Alright, and this was done. I'm drifting off, but just to tell you. Rahma came from that stock, from that family. This happened, the women folk came, they enjoyed the food, and as they were eating, after the meals, desert comes, just before the desert, fruits were served. The most delicious fruits of Egypt, and Egypt had beautiful fruits. Her orchards were amongst the world's best. All these beautiful dishes were served, fruits came along, and each of these women folk were given a knife in order to cut the fruit. Well, as we do today, you will see the best way to eat fruit is to cut it in small pieces, and then to take it, apples and so on, you cut them up, oranges and so on, you cut. So each woman was served with a knife. And when each of them had taken their knife, and were about, and placed a fruit in their hand, whatever it was, the Quran does not mention that, and they were about to cut the fruit, at that time, there was a cry when one of the women folk raised their eyes and they saw this beautiful, handsome man, young man standing on the balcony. She had timed it like that, the presentation of Nabi Ayyub, of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. She had timed it with precision. And here he came, beautifully dressed, prepared. As he came and he stood there, one woman cried out and the rest raised their eyes. Now as they raised, they were about to cut whatever fruit was in their hand. And instead of cutting the fruit, they cut their finger. Alright, such was the beauty of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Now Rahma was the granddaughter of the son of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. So you can imagine what was her beauty. Shaitan now leaps. His scheme is now, and this is what Shaitan does. He finds out, I told you last week, brothers, remember, that he, when there is a pious family living in a neighborhood, a family that performs salah and gives zakah and is engaged in zikrullah, and the women folk of their house carry out their ibadah, their faraid, their wajibat, their sunnah, they are good Muslims and pious Muslims, the women are always dressed appropriately, the men folk are always carrying out their duties, going to masjid and coming back, and all the good and blessed things they are engaged in, all the things that Quran and sunnah desires of them. Then Shaitan immediately targets that particular house. And he brings in his armies and he says, this house we are going to break. Find out who is this man, where does he come from, find out who is this woman, where does she come from, find out all the weaknesses of this particular family. How can we tempt them? How can... And he puts his watchdogs. All these devils surround the house and they watch. Your every movement, day and night, is recorded. And then they come back every day and they report to the chief of the shaitans for that area. Whoever the chief is, the commander is, the captain is, they report to him. And they tell him, look, this is about, this is the movements of the family, this is what they do, this is where he works, this is... And after tracing up all the information, they come together and in a meeting, in consultation, they said, how shall we break that home and destroy that home? This is how shaitan works. Well schemed, well planned, well plotted. And then eventually they go on their task. So brothers, this is what these stories teach us. There's a moral tone to these stories. And we have to learn from them and know how shaitan works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recounted many of these stories in the Quran. Not in detail. The details we get from the ahadith and from the rawayat, from the mufassireen. We get all these details. But we must learn from them and be aware. And yet I say, yes, it is very easy to get shaitan away from us. All we got to do is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us continue. So shaitan comes and he tells her, and Rahma alayha salam, Rahma was a very, very, very beautiful person. He says, oh beautiful one, a wonderful one, look how lovely you are. Why are you wasting your youth and your beauty on such a sickly and a perishing one? He is surely not worth the effort and sacrifice you are making for him. Leave him alone. Let him be and find your worth. Find one, in other words, that is worth your while, that is worthy of your beauty. She, however, paid no attention to the cries and appeals of this man. And she passed him by without a glance. She would relate this experience to Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam when it occurred several times for several days continuously. She reported it to Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, who would then say to her, Beware, O Rahmah, he is shaitan. I am aware that he is behind me for some time. You must never listen to him, for his function is to deceive and to mislead people. With this warning ringing in her ears, Rahma alayhi salam took every precaution to avoid listening to these cries of shaitan, who had appeared to her disguised as a human being. One day, shaitan tried another tact. Here he goes again on to another of his schemes. He's not achieving. Several days he tries the one tact, or may even have been for several weeks. He's unsuccessful. Now he goes on to another tact. For he never lets go of a victim. As she passed him, he moved closer to her and said, in soft and gentle words, O wise and beautiful one, I have found a most suitable, a most handsome, and a most royal Egyptian prince for you. He worships your beauty, and he is proud of your elegance, and he will make you her royal highness. You will live in a beautiful palace surrounded by servants galore, with lots of comforts and plenty of pleasures. I say this, for I feel very sorry for you. Your beauty and your grace deserves better than what you have now at the moment. Leave Ayyub, leave him alone, get away from him and come with me, so that you may be betrothed to the most handsome prince of them all. He is desirous of you. Believe me, for I mean well. Do not be an enemy of your wonderful beauty and your charm. You deserve only the best. Come with me. Come, Rahma, come with me to great joy and great happiness for you. This was too much for Rahma. These words, shaitan comes close to her and earnestly he utters these words to her. This was too much for Rahma. She turned on him angrily and she used harsh words to reprimand him to leave her alone and to keep his advice for himself. When she related this incident to Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, he advised her again that this was a deception of shaitan, who was on her trail to break them both for their tolerance, for their forbearance and endurance of their situation, and that she should not fall into the trap of shaitan. Otherwise they would suffer disgrace and eternal punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan, he told her, must not be allowed to prevail over them in any way whatsoever. Shaitan, this evil trickster, the scheming fiend of man, however, never lets go. He keeps coming back with new schemes and new plans, always trying to lead man to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Shaitan's whole mission in life. His persistency often succeeds, and it is only by the grace and the mercy of Allah ta'ala that man can be saved. It is for this reason that men should always be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and should always seek Allah's protection from the shayateen. Shaitan worked out a new strategy now to deceive Rahma. Here he goes now on to another plan. And his plans come thick and fast. Everything is failing for Shaitan. Everything is fading for Shaitan. But he persists. And this is now the new strategy that he is going to try on Rahma. He is trying to get through to Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, to break Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. He is trying his best through the wife of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Her name was Rahma alayhi salam. One day, he appears before her, disguised as an old and a wise medicine man, or a doctor in our terms, but do not understand the use of the word doctor here in modern terms. As a hakim, the word that's used in the kitab is a hakim. In those days they had herbal cures, herbal remedies, alright? So he appears to her as a herbalist, you can call it, or as a medicine man of that day and that age. A very old and wise doctor. His clothes are, you know, huge clothes he's got on. He's got on a huge turban, well covered and so on, looking like a man. His fingers and all are, when you look at his fingers, the fingers and the hands give proof that he has been working with medicine for a long time, working with herbs for a long time, stuck in his pockets and his coats and around him and in his bag are all kinds of herbs and medicines. So by looking at Shaitan, at this doctor, you know immediately that he's a herbalist, he's a doctor. Shaitan is very clever for us, brothers. We can only beat shaitan, overcome shaitan by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in any way, if we have been disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help, Allah's rahmah, Allah's nusra will not come to us, and shaitan will surely defeat us. This is reality, this is truth what I'm telling you. Let's proceed. Here he comes as an old and a wise doctor, and he tells her very seriously, very sagely, very wisely, he tells her. He addresses himself to her, stooping low. He says, I have come, O Rahma, I have come to learn that your beloved husband is very seriously ill, and that you earnestly seek a cure for his illness. I am a very experienced doctor. I am sure that I have a remedy for his illness. Here, take this parcel and give it to your husband.